All right, I'm going to ask you if God has done anything that you would like to share here. I didn't give you any opportunity to do that, but I'm going to ask you for anything you'd like to share, anything that God has done. And also along with that, I'm going to ask Ezekiel, if you could do me a favor, could you go back in my office and get my chronological Bible that's sitting up right on my desk? I kind of need that here. How's God worked in your heart this week? Anything that you just want to share really quickly? A blessing? I will start off by saying that just the men's retreat, the challenges, like I mentioned this morning, were a blessing. Just very simple, positive things that we were able to get. But it was a blessing to me to go up with some of the guys and have a good time. And so I appreciated the opportunity to go up and do that. Anybody have anything? I'm not going to take long. We're going to get right into the passage. If you don't have anything, anybody have anything you'd like to share? Yes, sir.
Well, I just wanted to say I had a real good time this week with the guys, and I met a lot of new friends, and what we were trying to pray for me about 4 months helped me get my disability back. Well, we finally got the check in the mail, now I'm just waiting on a job.
Okay. Let's continue to pray for a job for Billy, that God would provide that for him. And in the right time, he will. So let's pray that he would be out and getting out, looking for one, and that God would, you know, bring that right one to him. Very good. Anybody else? Yes, Carrie.
I just want to praise the Lord for our church. Church family that we have. I think we take for granted what we have here in the body of Christ that mm-hmm. we have. Because if you go out from here, I mean, there's probably a lot of good churches, but the congregation that we have, the love that we have for one another, my wife's mom and dad, they love it when we come up here. Struggle with the thought of moving down south because of them being older and there not being a quality church like we have. So I think we need to praise the Lord for who we have there and the love that is shared.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's an encouragement even to me, you know, just to hear that. What a blessing. God gave us a good church. And I appreciate it too. I love our church as well. Hope you love your church. It's a blessing. Anybody else? Just a blessing, testimony. God's goodness in your life. Yes, ma'am.
I've just been encouraged from several of the messages that you preached recently about purposefully loving one another, thinking about one another, praying for one another. It's been encouraging to me as the Lord led me to take steps of faith about praying for or reaching out to different folks in the church. That was an encouragement, I guess, to myself, hopefully to other people too. But then also, kind of like my dad was saying, for our church family, because as I've had other folks reach out to me, you know, maybe in just small ways, like some of the ladies in the church being excited with us about our baby, that's just really fun, and it's very special, and you don't get that kind of family-friendly atmosphere everywhere out in the world. A lot of people are kind of focused on their own thing and mm-hmm. living their own life. And here, you know, we know when we always come to church, there's going to be folks asking us about how we are, asking me about how the pregnancy is going. And that's just very encouraging because I know that they've been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's an encouragement also. Praise the Lord. Very important things. See how the Lord's working in each heart. Anybody else? Okay, Mark chapter 1, if you take there. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1. We're looking at the topic of the cleansing of a leper. And, of course, In Step with Jesus, as he does his... Right now we're in this little stage of a tour of Galilee that Jesus goes through. So Jesus hasn't left the area from the last couple messages that we've preached in this series. And you're going to be... I trust that you'll be patient with me. We will come back to this series here and there as we continue to go through our Striving Together series. And when the Lord leads us to come right here and look at another pathway, we're going to do it. And as the Lord gives me more messages to preach on striving together in that series, we will do those. And so I'm just truly leaning upon the Lord to lead us from week to week exactly where we'll go. And so we're here tonight. And I want to give you the parallel passages. This is one of the reasons why I need Ezekiel to get my chronological Bible so I can give you those. I want you to be able to see, and I want us to read through those parallel passages just to see the different perspective. Remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then sometimes John, even in these Gospels, are the same story from a different perspective. Remember what perspective is where you're looking at the same thing. These are not different events. These are the same events, just looked at from a different perspective, and the different authors that wrote them had a different perspective, and they had a different, maybe a different calling of the Lord about their perspective on what the emphasis needed to be. To get a full and complete picture. So this passage is given to us in, this story is given to us in Matthew, it is given to us in Mark and in Luke, and I want to look at all three. We are going to focus on Mark's rendition of it, his perspective, and so we'll be here in Mark chapter 1. Why don't we go ahead and read Mark's perspective first, and then we'll go back to Matthew, and then we'll jump ahead to Luke and read those, okay? So this is, remember, Jesus is traveling with four of his disciples, and they're going around through Galilee. Now, where's Galilee? Okay, Galilee is in the north. Is Galilee a city? Okay, Galilee is not a city, it's a region, okay? It's a region. Jesus spent a lot of time up near Galilee. And you probably understand where Galilee is in close proximity to the Sea of Galilee. Okay, just to the on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, we have this relatively large area referred to as Galilee. Any cities that you remember that are in Galilee? A couple cities that we've looked at. Okay, Nazareth, very good. And Capernaum, okay, Capernaum on the seaside. Anything else?
Bethany.
Okay, Bethany. What was that? Cana, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cana, as we looked at the first recorded public miracle that Jesus did. And we could probably mention some more on the seaside, okay, Bethsaida and more. So we the cities that we've looked at, we've mentioned. And so this is in the region of Galilee. So Jesus is touring around doing some different things in Galilee with four disciples, okay? So that's where we're at. And here we are. In Mark chapter 1, let's go ahead and read verses 40 to 45, okay? Mark's, this specific story, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith to him, unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Okay, so there's Mark's. So keep that in mind, and let's go back to Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Mark is kind of the slow one. We're still in chapter 1 with Mark. But we have been going like crazy in Matthew chapter 8. And let's look at verses 2, 3, and 4. Okay, these are parallel passages. This is the same story from a different perspective. So we looked at Mark's first, and that's where we're going to look at. I think Mark's is the most complete with at least from the perspective of pathways that we look at. And so let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. His is the shortest. And look at 2, 3, and 4. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Short and to the point, right? Okay. Is Matthew's perspective still tells us, you can tell it's the same story, but just the needed details to get through. All right, now go to Luke. Go to Luke. Luke's usually one that's given too much detail. Luke is, I mean, he's got 12 to 16, so he's got five verses compared to Mark's six. It doesn't mean that Mark is not necessarily more detailed, but Luke is usually the detailed. Luke, the physician, you know, he's going to tend to be a little bit more detailed, and he always is. Go to Luke, did I tell you where? Luke 5. Luke 5 and verse 12 is where we're going to start. I saw a few people look it up. Maybe we're like, Pastor, where are we at, Luke? Okay. So Luke chapter 5 is where we're at. 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. So let's look at verse 12. Luke chapter 5, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into a wilderness and prayed. All right, so we have looked at this situation, the cleansing of the leper. Are they very similar? Very similar, aren't they? In fact, the details, you know, very much the same. Do you see the ones that add a few things that you see a little bit of a different perspective? You know, Mark and Luke are a little bit closer. Matthew, you know, just gets the main points there. But we know a certain amount of things from this, and each one, though, adds just a little bit of a different element. So I'd like to combine all these elements and put them together, and I want you to see this pathway that Jesus provides for us. All right, let's go back to the key verse that I want to look at is back in Mark. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. This verse is the most comprehensive. I think this verse covers the most of what we're going to look at tonight, just this one verse, Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. You say, what's the use? Why do we go to all these passages and see the parallel? I like you to see that. I like you to compare for yourself and just see the... I think that you get the whole picture when you look at all of them. You know, you get the story in the fullest right there. You know, if we had just looked at Matthew chapter 8, verses 2, 3, and 4, we really only got a small part of that perspective, didn't we? But then you look at Mark and Luke, and you see a greater part of the picture. But even Luke mentions some things that Mark does, and Mark mentions some things that Luke does not. So here we have the whole picture. This is what we have of this passage. We have three passages which give us the most complete picture that God wanted to give us. Okay. Certainly there were more details in the story, but they were not necessary for us because we see that God left them out. Okay, so Mark chapter 1 and that very first verse that we read, verse 40, let's read that again. And then let's look at a few points this evening that I think we can follow Jesus in. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now I want you to notice Jesus' response, okay? So he says, thou canst make me clean. I said we're going to look at verse 40. It's actually verse 41 that is the fullest of his response. Now look at verse 41, and here's where we get our points. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. In this little verse, we see four major things, and we'll look at another passage for another one. Let's look at the very first one. What do you first notice that Jesus does with this individual? And it's very popular with each one of these. What does he have? He has compassion, doesn't he? He's got compassion. First of all, Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus moved with compassion. Is this the only time we see Jesus moved with compassion? It's not. In fact, really quickly, let's look at a few other places. Keep in Mark, and let's go to chapter 6. Keep your finger here in Mark 1, but let's go to Mark chapter 6, and let's see. In this, we see Jesus was moved with compassion in Mark chapter, well, in Mark chapter 1. What did he have compassion on with this individual? Back to Mark 1 that we just read. What was his compassion? What was the topic of his compassion here? We have a man that had leprosy, right? And he was struggling. And this man recognized Jesus' ability. He says, he comes to him and he says, if thou wilt. Notice he didn't ask if he could. He already knew he could. He had witnessed Jesus going around doing some of these miracles. He didn't say if you can. He said if you will. Are you willing to do it, Jesus? Are you willing to do it? We see later at the end of the verse, he was willing to do it, wasn't he? That's going to be a point that we're going to make here in just a moment. He was willing to help him out. But he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He said, it's all up to your will. Jesus, if you will do this, I know you can. So he comes to him and says this. And so Jesus is looking at this man's faith. He sees that he trusts him, that he has the ability to do it. He said, are you willing to do it? And Jesus looks at him and we see that he's full of compassion. So his compassion here is based on maybe physical infirmity. He's got leprosy. Was leprosy a big deal? Well, it was a big deal. Leprosy was a big infirmity that a lot of people never got healed of, and they were segregated and separated to another part of the outer skirts of the city and just left to kind of live their own lives and die there. A miserable disease that these people had with leprosy, okay? So we notice that he had compassion with the physical pain and suffering. Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things, okay? Here we see Jesus came and he saw the people, he was moved with compassion. What was the basis here? If you look at the context, these people were tired, but they were hungry, and they also needed leadership. They were sheep having no shepherd. They were hungry. Does Jesus care about hungry people? You know, he really does. You know, we look at that and we say, oh, that's a little thing, you know, hunger. Jesus wanted to meet the spiritual needs of the people. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of times Jesus met the physical needs of the people, and also then he was able to meet the spiritual needs of the people. But here we have a food issue. These people are hungry, and we can see they're probably tired, but they also needed leadership. And he recognized them as sheep having no shepherd. And he looked at this hunger, he looked at this lack of leadership, and he had compassion. So we have seen so far that he has compassion upon physical ailments. Does that comfort you? Those of you in this room that have physical ailments? You know that Jesus has compassion on you? He cares. We'll look at compassion here in just a moment, what that means. He had compassion on hunger. And this is not like deep hunger in a famine or anything like that. This is just everyday hunger. These people are hungry, and he cared about that. And he looked upon them in their hunger, and he had compassion. But also he looked on a lack of leadership, and he said, you know, these people just need somebody to help them. He cares about leadership. He cares about people getting leadership. He wants people to have that leadership. And so he cared. He looked on it. Go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Here we have another kind of viewpoint of this, worded a little differently. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Why, though? I want you to see why. What does he say? Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. I know some of you are still getting there. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because, why? Number one, they fainted. What does that mean? They were tired, right? They were tired. Come on, does Jesus care about our tiredness? Yeah, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He cares about our tiredness. You know, you say, I'm so tired. I don't feel like I can, you know, I've been over the last couple of nights, I've not been able to sleep, and I've been so busy, and I've been doing so many things, and I'm tired. You know, and you think, Jesus, God doesn't really care about that. Oh, he does. In fact, he was moved with compassion. And these people were tired. I don't know. I've read these verses, you know, seemingly, I would say a million times. Obviously, I've not read them a million times, but probably hundreds of times. And you stop and think, wait a second. Our Lord is moved with compassion when we're tired. Physical tiredness. Hunger. Leadership tiredness. And then also in Matthew 9:36, we see this leadership as well. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Jesus cares about that. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold. And the point is not to get into the context of the passage. I just want you to see what his compassion is on. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. What would you say the compassion is to this lady? Sorrow, loss. Does Jesus really care when there's things in our life that bring sorrow? What about loss? You know, when we had something and now it's gone, it's broken, can't be fixed, or we don't have the money to take care of it, it's no longer available to us. Does Jesus care about that? Oh, we see. It says that the Lord saw her. And when the Lord sees us, I mean, he sees not just the person. No, he sees right inside the heart. He knows what you're going through. You know, I do not have the ability to look at you and know exactly what's going through your heart and what you're feeling right now. You might shed a tear and I might know, you know, and that person's struggling. You might respond in, you know, certain ways and I might be able to draw some conclusions that you're struggling, but I don't have the ability, and none of us have the ability to look at somebody and really get the perfect glimpse of a heart. Now, if you've ever been going through sorrow and hurt, are the issues in your heart big and real? They are. And sometimes it almost feels like it's going to swallow you up, right? And you struggle. I want to tell you something. Jesus is, he's not looking at your face and seeing if a tear comes. No, here, you know, that's little. He sees your heart. He sees exactly what you're going through. He knows all of the ins and outs of where your heart has maybe been deceitful and led you in a wrong way, or maybe, you know, that the emotions that you're maybe leaning too hard on. But he's moved with compassion as he sees that heart. You know, his attitude isn't like, come on, stop being so emotional. He doesn't say, come on, you know, get with a program. He's moved with compassion. He does care when there's sorrow. He does care when there's loss. You can quickly start making some analogies with striving together. Even though I didn't mean it to fit into the series, it does. Because you know where we're going with these pathways. So Jesus has compassion with their sorrow and loss. But let's look at another one. Not in the Gospels, but I want you to go to Hebrews. It's kind of interesting. Hebrews is not a gospel, but Hebrews is a story about the Savior. Hebrews is a story about the Savior. Of course, it's looking back to his life and who he is now for us. He's our high priest. He's our high priest that continues, even after his physical life, to still live for us. Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, early on. Now, this the similar phrase that we've been looking at in the Gospels is not given in the same way, but you'll see it right away. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, the incarnation, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now here we see that Jesus has compassion in what area? Our sin. Does Jesus care about our struggles? Our temptations? Our fallings? Our besetting sins? Oh, indeed he does. He cares. He cares that we, as I mentioned and just alluded to, and some of the men at the men's retreat can remember, he does care about our falls. He does. One of the reasons why he came to this earth, to be with us and to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. It says that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Yes, he was faithful, but he was merciful. He had mercy on us. He cared about our sin. And then look in Hebrews chapter 4. One more from Hebrews. Referring to Jesus. Hebrews 4:15. Probably know this verse or familiar with it. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Certainly we could look at sin, but he says, in all points. This is kind of like one of those catch-all verses. You know, yes, does he care about our tiredness? Does he care about our hunger? Does he care about our sorrow and loss? Does he care about all these things that we have looked on? Of course he does. But this verse catches everything else that was missed. He cares about all things in our lives. Do you know that no matter what you're going through in your life, Jesus cares. He has compassion. He has compassion. He has compassion on that physical. He has compassion on the financial. He has compassion upon the emotional. He has compassion upon the spiritual. He has compassion in all areas of your life. So let me ask you a question. What are you going through? Second question, does he have compassion on that? Does he care? He does, indeed. Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, we need to care about all aspects of other people. You know, that's where we were going with this pathway. If Jesus cared for all aspects of us, should we care for all aspects of people? Do you think that we ought to care about other people's physical needs? Indeed we do. If we're going to be Christ-like, we better. You say, you know, come on, that person just needs to get tough. That is not what Jesus said. No, he was moved with compassion when he saw that ache and that pain. No, and he went and he met that need. He cares. Folks, I want to tell you, you're going through physical struggles. Jesus cares about it. He does. Isn't that a comfort and encouragement? But let's take it a step further. Let's just not benefit from what Jesus has for us. Let's go around and look for those people that have those physical needs. And let's do what Jesus did and let's have compassion upon those people. I want to tell you something. We ought to care for somebody that's hurting tonight. We ought to care for somebody that has taken a fall and is struggling and is in pain. We ought to care about that. You know, you've been there at times, and it's tough, isn't it? You're struggling, and you got people around you that are, you know, that just, yeah, you know, they're not going through it, so I'm okay. No, if we're going to strive together for the faith of the gospel, we've got to show people that we absolutely care. Roger, wasn't it when I was talking to you about that guy that you met? I forget even where you met him, but how he was. Remember that guy that you said that you met, that he was associated with another church, he had been there, and the people in the church knew about his struggles. He had some physical problems or something like that, and the people in the church knew about it. This just came to my mind because Roger was telling me about this a couple weeks ago. The people knew about it, but I think you said that the people like didn't do anything to help out. Like years and years. Am I right? You tell me if I'm wrong. I don't want to get the story wrong. But years and years of this physical struggle and the people of the church that he was, again, I'm not saying that he went there. I don't remember his association, but there were people that knew about his struggles and didn't do a thing about it. And then one day, some people from, was it LCBC? Okay. This is not a promotion for LCBC. Okay. So people from LCBC, though, came over and they started doing some help. They did some work for him. You know, they showed that they cared. And that guy told Roger that group of people meant more to me than that church that associated with me for all these years that never did anything. They showed that they cared about his physical need. And according to what Roger said, that guy told Roger, that meant more to him than all those years of doing, you know, of just being associated. Because they cared about his physical needs. That's the way Jesus was, though. And I'll tell you what, it brought a lot of people to him, and it wasn't just their physical needs that were healed, because right after that, their spiritual needs were healed, because somebody showed that they cared about a physical need. You know what? I think, I'm not talking about humanitarian means. I'm not talking about social gospel. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of us have gotten so far away from humanitarian needs. And we've gotten so far away from the social gospel that all we care about is spiritual needs. And that we're not willing to go out and do anything for hurting people. Yet we watch these other groups go around the country helping people, you know, and disaster relief and all this stuff. Now, I think that some of these other places and churches rely upon that as like their mission. I'm not promoting that. But I want to tell you something. It's almost like we've dropped out. No, we don't do anything like that. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It's like we're not going to help anybody. You know, there's people down the road here in Mount Joy that have needs. You know what? In our churches, we don't think about that though, right? You know what? I've been tempted to think about this a little bit. You know, I wonder if we've gotten too far away that we've removed the ministry with people just because we are just not meeting humanitarian needs. We'll meet all your spiritual needs. Come to Faith Bible Church and we'll preach the gospel to you. We get saved. But you know, the message is coming across is, do we even really care about the loss that they're going through? Food for thought. I'm not saying that we're going to start up a soup kitchen this week. Okay, I'm not saying that we're gonna start, you know, doing just disaster relief. But I want to tell you something. There's something to it that I think that we have swung to the other side of the pendulum that we cannot help with people's physical needs. And yet that's what Jesus did. Right? You guys see it? I want to tell you something. We've really got to think about this. We've really got to think, because we want to do things the way Jesus did it, not just the way our circles do it, right? Sometimes our circles are missing the boat because we just stay in our circles. That's not what we do. Think about it. That's what Jesus did. We need to care about people's physical needs, financial needs. Do we not care about people's financial needs? You know, when Jesus met people that didn't have enough food for the next day, what did Jesus do? Or what did his people do through Jesus? Met those needs, right? Met those needs. Let's see what we can do. Let's meet that need. Let's give them food. Jesus, right there, while they're there, listen, let's get some fish and get some bread. Let's feed these people. You know, you say, well, that's not financial. Well, in a way it is. Food is money. Helping people in their loss, you know, and there are people that have financial needs. Now, you got to be careful. The Bible talks a lot about the poor. We got a lot of poor people out there that aren't so poor. We got to identify who really the poor are. But I'll tell you what, some of the poor people that are around about there, we don't understand, know that, because they don't make an issue of it. You know, but when we see somebody that's lacking, you know, we ought to be right there to help them. The physical, the financial, the emotional, people are struggling. You know what? We've got to be there as a body to help the weak. People that are struggling, going through difficult, the sorrow that we talked about. You know what? We've got to be there. The spiritual, of course, we know that one. But you know what? The spiritual. Sometimes we get scared about helping people's spiritual needs because I don't know. Listen, if you have a Bible, you can help people out spiritually. Point them to the Scriptures. Let the Scriptures take them somewhere. We need to be compassionate towards the needs of other people. I want you to see next what Jesus did. He was moved with compassion, but he didn't just dwell in his compassion. He just said, I just really care for the people, but it didn't do anything. What was the next step that Jesus did according to Mark chapter 1? He was moved with compassion, and what did he do? Well, before that, he put forth his hand. Of course, and then he was going to touch him, but he put forth his hand. Here Jesus put forth the effort. He made a decisive effort to help, a decision to help. You know, I think I'm just going to dwell on this really quickly, but we need, he made a decision to help. We need to make a decision to help. And of course, at the end of the verse, it says, I will. I will. He made a choice. He was willing to do it. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to step out and help people? It's not always easy, is it? You hear about a need come up and you're thinking, God, you wouldn't certainly have me do that. Right? Have you ever been there? I have. You hear about a need and you're like, no. God, I'm busy this week. God, I don't. You know, I've told you this before. It's amazing. The weeks that I have a visiting preacher come in and preach for me, I think that I'm going to get so much done because I'm not having to prepare my messages. It's those weeks that there's 10 people in the hospital and all this. You know, I've never had 10 people in the hospital. And by the way, if you go in the hospital on a week that I'm not preaching, please don't make it look like it's a burden to me. But I'm going to say, no doubt. That's when a lot happens. I really should be looking at it from a different perspective and say, praise the Lord, God gave me the time this week to fill all these needs. Because that's what happens almost every time. Lots of things come up. And I should look at that from perspective. But, you know, it's an amazing thing when things come up. And I've had them where I'm just getting ready, you know, in a big old project at home because I had the time to finally do it, you know, on a week that I'm not preaching. And certainly enough, something comes up. And I have a test in my spirit. Are you going to be like Jesus? Or are you going to be in your flesh? But I want to tell you something. We have to get to that point to where we reach out and say, I'll do it. I will. And this individual, his big thing was, is he willing to do it? What a big test. Of course, Jesus is always going to pass the test. Jesus was always willing to meet the needs of the people. Let me ask you a question before we move on to the next one, because the next one is kind of interesting. He was willing. Are you willing to meet needs? You know, some of you might be willing to meet needs physically, but you're struggling meeting needs spiritually, or maybe you really don't want to meet needs financially. Don't ask me to give to anything. You know, we need to be willing, not just compassion, but willing to step out and put forth our hands. But I want you to look at the, you know, of course, Jesus, God, he's a very present help in trouble, isn't he? He's available. He's available at any time. The Lord is nigh unto us, nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He's close. You know, this is what Jesus is to us. Compassionate, he cares, willing to stick out his hand. But isn't it amazing? I have read over this again hundreds of times. I never caught this. What's the next one? Carrie, you said it. What's the next one? He reached forth his hand and touched him. Now, somebody tell me, what's the significance of that? Now, you think about, who's he touching? An untouchable? A leper. You don't touch lepers. You don't even live in the same area with them. You're going to catch it through the air. You're going to, I don't know how it's transferred. It's certainly transferred. That's why they put them out. They live in their own community. Lock the gates, lock the doors. Don't let these people out. And here we have Jesus. What are you doing, Jesus? I mean, he reached forth his hand. He was willing to help out. And this man touched him. Jesus touched this man. I have never, ever caught on to this. I've never even thought about that. No, he touched him. He was willing to, if I could say this, humanly speaking, risk himself to identify with this man. Now, I don't think Jesus was feared about catching leprosy. I don't really understand that. Maybe a good question to ask the Lord when we get to heaven. But he was a human, wasn't he? So, we don't want to take out all of his human characteristics. Well, Jesus was God, so he wouldn't have gotten sick. I don't know that. Because he was a human. And yet Jesus was willing to reach out and touch that man. I think that there's significance here because he was willing to risk himself. He was willing to risk himself in order to heal. He was willing to be identified. I really believe that was his willingness. He was willing to be identified, this individual. And that brings me back to a verse we already read, Hebrews 4:15. Do you remember it? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And I know that's talking about sin, but he touched. Ashley used the word untouchable, and I said the same thing in my notes. He touched the untouchable and cured the incurable. But he was willing to identify with this individual. You know, are you willing to identify with people and the struggles that they're going through? The difficulties. You know, it's not just the compassion, it's not just the willingness to do something, but to identify and to go and be there with them. You know, sometimes being with people, unlovely people, is not what we desire. Sometimes it's necessary. You know, now we're thinking about the lepers, we're thinking about maybe the people that are down and out and don't have anything and that we have a tendency to stay away from. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. With us, it's not just those kind of people. There's some people that you're just different with at church. I just don't have much in common with that person. You know what, if that's my attitude towards people in this church, I'm going to be 0% affected with that individual because I don't identify with. You catch that? But there are people sometimes in our congregations that I don't identify with that guy. I stay away. No, he's got issues. She's got, you know, I don't, you know what? Praise the Lord for people that are willing to identify and cross over boundaries into people that are different from them and will step out and touch them and be willing to identify with them. He's like, boy, you know, he's going to embarrass me, or they're different. I don't know about them. I'll tell you what, it's not the easiest thing to do, but it's very rewarding when you do it. It's a blessing. But folks, if there was any other reason than the blessing, that's what Jesus did. Jesus was willing to step out of his, if we could call it, boundaries and touch the untouchable, cure the incurable. We praise the Lord for his willingness to reach out and touch. I want you to see a last thing. Of course, he was willing. We go through the progression there. Verse 41, he was moved with compassion. He put forth his hand. He touched him and he said to him, I will. We've already kind of covered that with the reaching forth his hand. He was willing to do it. Be thou clean. Now, the only one that records this last thing I just briefly want to mention before we close tonight is Luke. Did you catch what Luke... Now, we didn't even address the situation with Jesus telling him to go to the priest and be declared clean. And that's another topic. Something we could get into. We're not going to get into this with this study on Jesus, the pathways of Jesus. But Jesus tells him, don't go out and publish this abroad. What would happen if he did? We saw it happen. What happened? People were so much wanting him to take care of all their needs that it just swarmed him. And so he had to retreat to the desert place. He had to go to the mountains. He had to go to another place to escape so much of the multitude. And it's not that he was trying to get away and be selfish. But we skip all of that. I just want you to see something very interesting that we come back to that we find Jesus doing so much. Do you probably know what it is? It's in the last verse that we read in Luke's perspective. What did he do? He prayed. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You know, it's so interesting. I just want to put this point in there as we close in all that we do in the ministries of our church. You know what? Is it good to have compassion on people? We need it. Jesus did it. We do. Is it good for us to reach out and make a decision, an active decision that I'm going to help? Yeah, we need to. What about identifying with people and their struggles? Do we need to reach out and touch that person and identify with them and be right there through the thick and the thin of what they're going through? Mm-hmm. I want to tell you something. All of this, if Jesus Christ found himself having to go and pray to his Father, we're going to have to do the same thing as well. We've got to pray about it. We cannot have the compassion we need to. We cannot have the will to help meet a need. We will not make the decision to identify unless we are at one with the Father. And we continually finding Jesus taking the time in between the multitudes, in between the crowds, going and kneeling down before his Father and saying, God, I don't know what he said. My guess is he said, God, I need your help. Sounds a little bit bizarre having Christ saying, I need your help. I don't know what he prayed. But it was just as if, like we learned this morning, he was seeking the Lord, his Father. He was frequenting him. Father, help. Whatever he said, I don't know. Folks, I want to tell you, in order to be the person at Faith Bible Church that's striving together for the faith of the gospel, we need to follow Jesus Christ's pathway. Compassion. Will. Identification. Prayer. We need him. Tremendous lessons that we learn for Jesus Christ. Wherever he goes, he's got lessons to teach us. Valuable for us today, certainly. Let's follow in his footsteps. Father, I thank you for where you have led us tonight. It's like we're on a little journey. We go with Christ from place to place, and though it's been a long time, a couple thousand years since Jesus walked these places, no, maybe we cannot see the exact backdrop in the area that he was in physically right now. But boy, we can sure see the spiritual elements and the things that Jesus did just as if it were yesterday. This is what Jesus did. We ought to do the same thing. God, would you help us to follow Christ's footsteps? God, would you give us a burden for other people? Lord, my prayer for this church, one of my prayers among many, Lord, would you help us to be a church that is striving together? And it's not just on the battlefront. Sometimes it's back in the barracks. It's through life. It's helping bandage a wound. It's helping feed somebody. It's helping encourage to go back out. It's there to identify with that one that nobody seems to enjoy being around. God, it's that help that we give for each other. Lord, would you help us to stop going through this life alone, individually? God, it's ungodly, it's unbiblical, and it's unchristlike. God, would you help us, please, to walk where you walked in your steps. In Jesus' name we pray.